Anihake Ezekiel once said, betrayals rarely come from an enemy. Keep this in mind as we discuss today the recent EU meeting with Iran regarding the nuclear deal and whether there will be some sort of an agreement or not. My name is David Waralu.
And my name is Dr. Ross Stewart.
And you are watching Geopolitics in Conflict.
The European Union has submitted a final text to try and salvage the nuclear deal between Iran and world powers.
Although no details of Iran's response have been revealed
yet, reports suggest that Iran is still looking for ways to continue its negotiation on certain issues.
The United States is urging Iran to drop its extraneous demands and says that everything that can be negotiated already has been.
The world is random, meaningless, chaos. Or is it? How do some of the best, wealthiest, and most powerful people seem to know what's coming before it happens? Well, one way is that they create the circumstances in their favor, but the other is that they know how to read the world's stage and spot patterns and trends in key areas. They don't get lost in the overwhelm of endless information. They know what's important to pay attention to using their own formulas, and most importantly, they know where to put that information to actually make it usable. Would you like to be able to do the same thing? Well, we have a course that teaches you to do that exact same thing. It's called No Nonsense Politics. So if you want the leg up that some of the world's brightest have, as well as an online community of people who think for themselves just like you, check it out. Link in the description box below.
You know, David, something you might notice is world events have not slowed down at all.
I thought we'd come into the holidays and everything should stop.
Well, how come I don't think so? You know, because we follow this on all day, every day basis, and the number of events going on are so frequent and so significant. Let me get this exactly right. The European Union foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, met in Europe with Iranian representatives. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's correct. The meeting just took place between Josep Borrell, is the European Union foreign policy chief, and the foreign minister of Iran. His name is Hossein Amir Abdullahian. So, well, basically, why they met? They met to see if there will be any possibility of restarting the negotiations, because it's been stalled for a month.
Yeah.
And you remember in one of these videos back then, and I said, mark my word, there will be no agreement. And here it is. So, but now the Europeans taking initiative, per se, to see if they can reach an agreement with Iran to restart. This is not about reaching the agreement itself, but just to restart the negotiations, which I don't foresee happening anyway.
The outcome of this meeting ought to be significant.
Indeed, Ross, it's because the objective of it, as I said earlier, is they wanted to restart the negotiations. And of course, they stalled because Iran didn't agree to the new terms imposed by the U.S. Because just FYI, for the background of this negotiations, it was between the P5 plus one, the P5 being the five permanent members of the U.N. Security Council, plus Germany. Okay? Now, Russia and China, of course, they're supporting whatever, but they're saying the U.S. should not impose or reimpose new sanctions on Iran. Iran is saying, sure, we'll be happy to go back to the deal if it goes back to its original form, signed in 2015.
You know, and the feedback we got as we researched this is that the original deal was working.
It was. Some in the West didn't like it, but it was working at least. But now, it's off the table. So, but here is the thing. The question that we wanted to provide you an answer to is why European at this time reached out to Iran to restart negotiations.
You think it could have anything to do with liquefied natural gas?
Most likely it
is. Oh, you think so? Yeah,
is.
I wonder.
Why is this? Because Iran is number two or three in the world when it comes down to gas. We all know the crisis that's going on in Europe regarding gas. But here is the interesting thing that we want you to know. If you happen to be an American watching this, guess what the U.S. position regarding this issue? The U.S. is saying, it's not an important issue for us right now. We're too busy with something else.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
Yeah, giving more money to Zelensky, right? That's what they're busy with.
What is it, with. 19 billion or something?
45.
45 billion?
Yeah, and if you total everything, it's going to add up to $100 billion. Yeah, that's virtually the issue. So there is the reason why the Europeans now wants to reach out, because if they could convince Iran to agree to restart negotiations, at the same time, getting gas from Iran. Iran is saying, we'll meet, we'll talk, but we don't think so. It's because Iran's not going to agree to anything unless the U.S. lifts its new sanctions, which the U.S. have no intentions on doing.
Oh, my God.
That is where the part of the problem is. The other concern that is out of all this for us as Americans is because the United States is concerned about Iran and Russia military rapprochement. They're getting closer.
Well, we know that there are a number of Iranian drones now involved in the
Ukraine conflict. Yes, indeed. You know, I'm not surprised, Ross, because when I wrote the Iran book, it's called Volatile State, Iran in the Nuclear Age, I argued this point as far as Russia and Iran, it will be just a matter of time before they will start coordinating their military activities together. And this is exactly what is happening, because they are moving into that direction. This is where the main concern of the United States is.
With good reason.
Yeah, well, because they are seeing the shift on the global stage. That is not to the U.S. favor, of course. You look at also the idea of some countries, especially when it comes down to China, India, Russia, and Global South, moving away from the dollar into using gold for their transactions.
We've been predicting this for a long time, and we're seeing it occur. It isn't going to happen overnight, but it's happening pretty rapidly right now.
For sure. It's going to take time. And this is why to Iran at this time, it doesn't make any sense whether they reach an agreement or not. They are moving forward. And like I argued in my book, there will be three outcomes that Iran could pursue regarding the nuclear program. They could go the North Korea's way.
Yeah.
They could go Libya's way, or they could go Japan's way. In the North Korea case, if Iran decide, hey, heck with these negotiations, we're going to go our way, it's like exactly what North Korea did. But what did North Korea do? In 1993, they decided they're not going to sign off anymore for the non-PT, non-proliferation treaty. And that's it. They moved on and they built nuclear weapon. So in the case of Libya, they give up their nuclear program. And in case of Japan, Japan said, well, we will remain signatory to the NPT, but we only use nuclear technology for civilian use. I don't see Japan doing this at all. So I don't see Iran doing this, rather. So that's where I see the difference.
Even though it's been predicted for a while, and you predicted it, this seems to be significantly escalating with this thing with Russia and Iran.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. is very concerned about it, because that is the main objective as to why the U.S. did not sort of support the EU initiative regarding the restart of the negotiations with Iran.
Well, my understanding is that Russia doesn't want Iran to be a nuclear power either,
weapons-wise. Exactly, yeah.
But I mean, they're even helping them build nuclear power plants, is my belief.
It is correct. You're absolutely correct, Russ. That means for civilian technology. But at the same time, if you can upgrade uranium to a militarized grade, then you're only a few months from building your own nuclear weapons and so forth. So this is where we figured, okay, why will this be important for an American viewer, for example?
Yes.
Well, it will be important because it drags us into more conflict. Could drag us into a direct conflict with Iran. And the question becomes is, do we need another conflict?
Oh, for sure we do not.
Yeah.
You know, what our program is about, and we say it every time we do a presentation, what are the trends, what are the patterns, what data point are we presenting today that adds to a particular growing understanding as to what's going on in the world and what is the trend and what is the pattern.
Exactly.
And we've even said it out loud so far.
Yeah. And for us in the U.S., it'll make more sense to, for example, invest in our own infrastructure here, invest in our own education, our own healthcare, the tax system. Yeah, you know, we have plenty of issues to deal with.
Oh, do we ever?
So,
and there seems to be no national consensus as to doing, as to spending money that way, at least not from the Congress.
Yeah. I always wonder about that, Ross. Why is that? Why we don't seem to, some of us Americans, not all, we don't seem to truly understand.
Well, one of the things is the quality of distraction that goes on here.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has a big screen TV, whether you're rich or poor, and the numerous things that you can watch or be involved with, and then the lack of quality information. So distraction is a very useful tool for the warmongers in the United States.
Well, this is why at least we hope we are providing something of value to you.
We also have to look at the lobbyists and who pays the lobbyists, who pays for the re-election campaigns of everyone in Congress. So we know why. It's just what do those of us that are deeply concerned about the well-being of America, what can we do about it?
Yeah. I wonder if we will ever find a solution.
I wonder the same thing. Yeah. As I'm perusing all the media, because you know you and I do this constantly, we're seeing more and more voices of sanity coming on and saying, how about we prioritize in America the things that are good for the American people?
People.
More and more, and they're articulate, and they're doing consistent themes. And the pushback is terrible. But still, we have a number of voices that are coming forward with a very clear message of, let's take care of the American people first, because we are Americans.
Indeed. Well, I wish one day to see that concept of the government is for the people, by the people. I really hope to see that in my own lifetime before I check out.
Well, I hope the same thing.
So, yeah. Any final thoughts, Ross, before we close this out?
We're certainly seeing a number of Iranian drones.
I know. It's a big deal.
And the last number I saw was 2,400 new Iranian drones on the battlefield. They're going, oh, the amount of damage that can cause.
Yeah, and they are moving into the military production of items like that. So it's no different than Turkey. Turkey is developing the military product, shall we say, homegrown.
You take a look at the Iranian drones, and they seem to be a pretty simple technology.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the more sophisticated ones, dramatically more sophisticated ones we've seen. But they're cheap, and Russia now has the license to produce them themselves.
So cost is a reason for all this.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper to do it.
Indeed. Well, we hope you find this very informative. And as always, prepare yourself for a changing world order. Till next time. Bye-bye.